Hi, this is Russ Dizdar from the organization Shatter the Darkness, www.shatterthedarkness.net on the web. On that main website, you'll see a number of ministry areas that we offer, and one of the main things we're doing is the Theology for the Third Millennium. We call them the cutting-edge courses. We've taught the courses locally here probably for over 20-some years. We've updated them. We constantly are renewing and putting new materials, all about, again, educating and bringing knowledge to believers everywhere, but also equipping them to do ministry, not for about the past, but what's going on now, and learning how to become preemptive and cutting edge in what's occurring in the world around us. How to bring all of the Word of God to bear concerning the issues that are going on today and the things that the world is going through. We know that biblical prophecy tells us many things that are going to occur, that have occurred, and we are living in some of the most historic times in world history. And it may be that we are the last generation, I don't know. But what I do know is that I've looked over these 30-some years being a pastor also and in ministry, and I've seen so many believers and so many churches sit back as reactionaries to the world. And instead of being at the cutting edge like we see in the book of Acts. So having the knowledge of God, the Word of God, and having a systematic pouring out of it into our lives enables us then to appropriate that Word and then put it into practice, which then builds a tremendous relationship with God and with Jesus Christ and helps us then to bear the fruit that we need to do and to see the world the way it really is. I really think it's proper to say, clash of civilizations. There's the kingdom of God and the dominion of darkness. And there is a great big clash. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. He was going to build a church in the context of spiritual battle and spiritual war. Well, this little podcast training is simply here to encourage those who are already students taking some of the courses from Theology for the Third Millennium, maybe the Theocentric or the Freedom Encounter, the Black Awakening course, Confronting the Powers. We have about 15, maybe more than that down the road. For the next 9 months, we'll be bringing out another course every single month. And each month we'll try to become a little more technologically savvy in presenting them and bring them out. But the bottom line is to get the materials out and to do what we've done local. For so many years, we've taught just hundreds and hundreds and in seminars where we've condensed the information and trained others. We're just glad to say that we've seen believers impacted and blessed and encouraged. And as we have applied the practical side of taking believers out in ministry, we've watched as believers led people to Christ, become effective in prayer, learned how to do deliverance and freedom encounters, and see God do the very thing that God did in and through the Lord Jesus, in and through the early church in the book of Acts. And that's really what it's all about. God, His knowledge, our experience with the Lord Jesus, our Savior, and our embrace of Him and our worship of Him, but then also the mission of God. Let me tell you something. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 8, 9, and 10, we love to study the part that talks about that we've been saved by grace, not by works. And that's a foundational verse for all of us who've been born again of the Spirit of God. But if you go to verse 10 and read it all in context, listen, we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus. We are a work of God. Not only in the saving aspect and bringing us into reconciliation and in fellowship with the living personal God, but we're also now the workmanship and God prepared works in advance for us to do. He is literally, even before you got saved, and when you did get saved and just begun to learn how to grow and develop in your faith, listen, God's already had prepared tremendous things that He was going to have you participate in and do the works of Jesus and to minister and bring His knowledge to others. So part of the courses really emphasize the Word of God and then also the works. And to keep that in balance, that we're to know and acquire the knowledge, but then it's to lead us in our relationship with God, putting that Word into practice and then bearing tremendous fruit and powerful things. The salvation that we've experienced is incredible. The greatest and most powerful spiritual transformation experienced this side of heaven. And from that new birth and regeneration that we've experienced, Titus 3:5 and 6 and 7, well, then we have so much then for God to build in us to then begin to release through us to the world around us. God's got a great mission. And I believe that part of this podcast and training is to help in that mission. I feel the providence of God in it. I trust that His presence will be with you as you study these courses. And as God is right there with you, the Lord Jesus right there with you, developing you and inspiring you and building in you and going to work through your life. Listen, whether you're in England, Canada, United States, Australia, hope to see students come in from Europe and other places. But the bottom line is, trusting the Lord for everyone who comes, I want you to have the best possible. And as I've said, on the tech side, we'll probably continue to tweak things and make things look better and everything else. But the bottom line of all of it is just getting you the information. So there's a lot of courses we're offering. Obviously, some of you right now have been or are in the courses right now. Maybe you're someone who's just checking it out, and I'm glad for that. Let me give all of you a little bit of what I think is very, very important when you step into these courses. See, I've been to 5 other schools, to so many seminars and conferences and places. I have been studying for 32 years nonstop, and even to this day, I plan on studying more. Have 30-some books around me ready to study. Have places that I'm learning from and new ways of learning and whatever. You know why? I really believe in the days that we're living, Christians need to be at the cutting edge. We need to be preemptive. We don't need to be in the castles, in the cubby holes, and afraid about what's going on in the world around us. We are the people of God, and we now, being redeemed by the Lord Jesus, have a message of indefeatable hope, and we have are part of a body of believers, the church of the Lord Jesus, that He said He would build, and the gates of hell would not prevail against. It's indestructible. The Word is indestructible. Your salvation, indestructible. The coming eternity, indestructible. The coming of Christ, indestructible. And what's going on in your life right now, as God is planning things in there, and the works you do for Him, saving, getting other people saved, and seeing people get healed and delivered and freed in ministry, those are the things that will speak for eternity. So I encourage you, just to take a few moments and listen to some of the partially the reasons why, but also how you can best delve into these courses. So on the downloadable printable notes, hope you've already printed those out, I'm just going to go through them: A, B, C, D, E, F, and G. That's all there is. 2 pages of notes on simply this: how to get the most from these courses. And I really know this from all the places I've been and so forth. You could apply this to college courses, seminary, wherever you're at right now. And I think it's important because I really believe that in all that we're studying, that as you sit in the presence of the Lord, use the Word of God as the grid in all your study. And I like to call it with Spirit-lit eyes. The Spirit of God has given us the ability to discern, to see, to know. And we can do that as we study all kinds of things, and still stay Christ-centered and on the foundations of the infallible and powerful and precious Word of God. So let me start on page 1A, acquiring knowledge and building a life. Well, there's 4 points. Simply, by acquiring the knowledge, listen, you'll grow up in your salvation. You'll grow up in your relationship. The knowledge of God will cause you to even bear the image of God. You'll see that in the book of Ephesians. The knowledge of God, we're to grow up in the knowledge of God and the grace of God. And so, you know, acquiring knowledge and learning in the Word and getting all the biblical revelation you can will cause you to grow up in your relationship with God and in your life and in your life skills. And so it's all about, you know, acquiring knowledge causes you to grow, and it builds your life, makes you stronger, more powerful, more able, more knowledgeable. It brings the doorway to where you know how to come before the throne of grace and find God's grace and mercies and let God interact with you as you're studying the Word and as you're in His presence. So it's going to cause you to grow up and to also build you up. Number two, the Bible has thousands of verses. Listen, over almost 1,600 years, God used about 40 authors to bring about what he wanted. The Word of God, it's a biblical revelation about the person of God, the nature of God, the nature of the world around us, who we really were and can be and will be. And we have in the Bible thousands of verses. You know what they are? They're treasures. Every single verse is a treasure, selected by the Spirit of God, preserved to this very day. The Word of God as it actually is. And listen, I call them treasures because they're sitting there waiting. You ever see some of the scuba divers, you know, going down to find an ancient treasure? Listen, there's so much in the Word of God, some of which have been written a few thousand years ago. The New Testament almost 2,000 years ago. But it's living and active today. And it's treasures. It leads to salvation. These things were written that you might believe, and that by believing have eternal life, the Gospel of John tells us in the end. And the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, the book of Hebrews tells us. It's the word of faith, Romans chapter 10 tells us. It's the word of life, the word of grace. Literally, God is speaking through it. And so here you are going to dig in and discover. And as you discover the Word of God, you're peering into the very character person of the God that loves you and has embraced you and saved you and one day will bring you home in glorification before His presence, and you will see Him. So can I encourage you? Can I simply encourage you to get in it more than anything else? Even if you don't take one of these courses, you've got the Word of God in the throne of grace. You've got the university that God has laid open to you. And literally, the Bible and your relationship with God won't cost you a penny. It's all before you to go before Him and learn and grow. And Jesus talked about coming before His feet and learning of Him. Learning of Him. Number three, so there'll be no lack of knowledge or vision for life. In the book of the prophet Habakkuk talks about where they lack the knowledge, you know, where there is no knowledge, the people perish. Knowledge is equated with having a vision. You can't have a vision without a knowledge. And that revelation that was to be given is to be the knowledge that gave the people vision for life. And I think that so many Christians don't have that picture. They don't see the world the way it is through God's glasses, God's lenses, the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And I think there's such a great lack of knowledge. But that's okay. We're gathering now to come before God in those thousands and thousands of specially selected revelation and it being alive and living and God waiting for us to discover its truths and to build the foundations of our faith, our relationship, our ability to relate to God, to others, to ourselves, to the world around us, and then plunge out into the greatest mission that's going on in all the universe. All the angels look into this. All of heaven is involved with the salvation of man. It's a great clash of kingdoms. The ramping up of the dark side is going on. And God is ramping up the end time greatest harvest in all of history. And the great clash of the end time events are coming upon us rapidly. And lack of knowledge will cause many to cringe in fear. I believe the knowledge of God and knowing what God is showing us will empower you and embolden you and will hopefully be part of the fire that moves our lives in service to Christ and to the world around us. The world's dying, my friend. The world is lost, my friend. And Jesus Christ is not willing that any perish, but that all would come to repentance. This is good and pleases God our Savior, the Word of God says. He would love all men. He wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. And there's so many things we can do as the church. There's so many things. Look in the book of Acts and see the incredible, powerful, world-changing church. They were turning the world upside down. The fallen, demonized, sin-embedded world was being flipped over by the blood of Christ, the redemption and the transformation of salvation. So let me encourage you that knowledge will empower you in your personal life and in the mission and to be able to do the works of Jesus. Number four there, it says that today's Christian will be 10 times better. Listen, take a look at Daniel chapter 1 sometime. In the context of Babylon, where there was 56 demonized temples that were gods of the day, and the king that was worshiping a demon deity, the place was littered and manifested in its law, politics, governing. Everything about it was just saturated. Yet Daniel resolved to stay pure. Daniel resolved not to be defiled, and his three friends. And that's all it took for God to have an opportunity, a window to come in to Babylon and demonstrate his presence, his power, his kingdom against radical evil. Radical evil. Take a look at chapter 1. And in the challenge of Daniel's life, even when the Babylonian king took him to try to literally just bring him into Babylon by changing his name, teaching him language, teaching him all the learning and literature of the Babylonians. Listen, God was involved in integrating everything and helping Daniel. And at the end of the story, after all the training, it talked about how Daniel and his friends were 10 times better than all the magicians, all the sorcerers, all those who had the dark side of knowledge. And don't you think that's how it should be today? That Christians should be 10 times better in their knowledge and spirituality. The largest cultic movement in the history of the world, the New Age movement. You know, and we're seeing this incredible growth of Satanism and paganism and Druidism and everything else. And that's the surface. That's just simply the shark fin under the waters as deeper darkness continues to manifest. The Word of God, the Holy Spirit, expressly said in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, that in the later days, guess what's going to happen? The Holy Spirit already tagged it. God already knows the future, Alpha and Omega. He knows everything totally, exactly how it's going to come down. And he gives us snapshots in biblical revelation so that we can prepare and so that we can be not caught unaware. Literally, I think the church is caught so many times with its pants, spiritual pants down. And we're not prepared to encounter the world around us. We're constantly huddling, but we're never coming to the line executing the next touchdown, spiritually speaking. So my encouragement is to you, looking at 1 Timothy 4:1, is that the seducing spirits are going to come. And the greatest manifestation of demonic presence, demonic doctrine, demonic works, counterfeit signs, wonders, and miracles, according to 2 Thessalonians 2, in the rise of the coming Antichrist. And with all that deception will come the greatest slaughter of humanity ever in all of history. So that's why I'm encouraging you now to buckle down, get disciplined, get committed. Let's get the fat out, and let's get down to studying the Word of God and integrating it with biblical prophecy and being set on fire by the Spirit of the Lord and getting out there to do the work of Jesus, to do the mission that God backs with all the power that He has blessed in the book of Acts as revealed. He'll do it again and again today. You know why? The Word of God tells us Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And hallelujah for that. And God will make you more than a conqueror. He really will. But look at how the reasons why so much of the New Testament was written. In preparation. Read the book of 1 John sometime. You're going to see again and again he's saying, I'm writing to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does, I'm writing to you concerning those who are trying to lead you astray. I'm writing to you for those you know who believe in the name of the Lord Jesus that you might know that you have eternal life. So you'll see purpose behind the writings that the Spirit of God brought out for all of us. Listen, become one of those believers. Dedicate a year of your life to the study and learning and getting before the Lord and getting all that you can so that at the end of that year, compiled in your life is a tremendous amount of knowledge and a developing experience and developing ability and ministry and being not only prepared but actively doing things that honor the Lord Jesus, that lead people to Christ, that crushes the work of the enemy, and that helps bring part of the world, you know, back in relationship through faith alone in Christ. Well, B on that first page says this, Third Millennium Theology, Cutting Edge. It's about the integration of knowledge. In other words, using the Word of God as the grid, the source, the bottom line, because In all of the courses, we have had a lot of integration over the years. We've read a lot of the stuff from the other side, the dark side, Luciferians and all their stuff, thousands of materials. Many of the courses have probably, we've read probably, 200-300 books behind the scenes, along with the experience, along with the Word of God, along with going over the Word again and again and again. And so there's an integration of Word and experience and fruit-bearing and everything else that's going on. And so the integration of the knowledge of God can come in your personal experience of learning and doing ministry. You apply what you've learned, and you see that it comes into experience. That's how it does when we practice the Word of God. So there's a lot of integration, and the sources. When you see us offering materials or quoting things or hear some of the podcasts, well, I'll even quote from Luciferian material or underground material or philosophers or whatever else in comparison to the wisdom and knowledge of God, and how to give, again, the idea of apologetics, how to give an answer to people, and how to demonstrate the most powerful yet compassionate, loving demonstration of the gospel of Christ and of His presence before others. The courses will involve you studying other books, materials, looking at video material at times, encouraging you to read other books that we offer, and having you get into practical experience. We'll talk about some of that as we go along. Secondly, it's a multidisciplinary approach. You're going to be listening to the training materials, the lectures, the same things we teach here locally. And you have the outline notes that we use. And I really encourage you to have those so that you can sit before the Lord, take the time, and go in sequence and let the Lord speak to you and add and integrate what you already have and put down notes. So many times in the process of that, God will be confirming things in your life, convicting things, guiding you, inspiring you, building your faith, moving you to step out in obedience. So there's listening, there's writing down with the notes, there's things to see. Some of the video that will be used in some of the courses. We used video here locally also, and some of the things we encourage you to see. Books that we tell you to take a look at and offer and in some of the courses to read, to integrate also. And then it comes down to doing things. When you're doing the works of Jesus and doing the ministry, if we're training the area of witnessing, becoming a witness effectually, if we're training in prayer, getting the answers, if we're training in spiritual warfare to experience the victories and so forth, if it's deliverance, learning how to do it, and on and on and on. The one thing I know in that multidisciplinary approach is this. Number, God is alive and working with you. God is involved in ministering. I went to a conference years and years ago, the great big, the Anaheim Vineyard Church in California. I heard about it, so I flew out, and I think in the 80s I probably did that about 6 or 7 times. It was a hotbed of seeing people, thousands get saved. There was some criticism with it, whatever else. But I went to learn and study. I went to the conference, and it was packed out. So I simply bought the materials and went back to where I was staying, and I began, you know, reading the materials, but I was kind of like, man, I'm not there at the course. I'm not there at the place. But the Lord reminded me, I'm here, and I'll guide you, and I'll teach you, and I'll direct you. And I realized that though I couldn't be in the big conference with the trainers that were there, I had the Lord Jesus Christ. I had the conference tapes and materials, and I began to listen and write notes and interact with the Lord in that process. And I also, you know, thought through it and integrated it in my life as I, you know, went out trying to witness while I was out there by myself. I wanted to put it into practice. And so I was getting one of the best out of all the other approaches. One of the best is that the Lord Jesus is there. And I'll talk more about that in a few moments, too. Thirdly, under B is the current society. You know what it is? It's past and present. You know, right now, is the past as it's developed into this very day. And so many people live in the past. Some only live for the moment. But in all these approaches that we're giving you in Theology for the Third Millennium is understanding the past, understanding the present, but integrating it with biblical future, the biblical prophetic future. And I believe that's what was happening in the book of Acts on the day of Pentecost, when the past, the present, and the future was all happening, when the prophecy of Joel was fulfilled on that very day, and Peter stood up, born again, filled with the Spirit of God, and said to the crowd, 1,500,000 were there gathered, and he spoke out to thousands of them listening. He began by saying, you know, this is that, you know, which Joel, he told them that prophecy, what they're hearing, what they're experiencing, is the fulfillment of the Word of God. Listen, as you study through some of these courses, you'll hear me again and again tell you how glorious, amazing, shocking is the absolute detailed accuracy of the prophecies. 300 in the Old Testament telling about the first coming of Christ. So much prophecy telling us not only about the second coming, but also prophecy that tells us about the developing satanic agenda and what to expect. So that leads me to point four, becoming preemptive, preparing for the future by getting a real grip on the totality of prophecy, not just the second coming. Listen, so many people talk about and debate the issue of the rapture, the catching up of the saints. That's spoken about in basically two places in the New Testament. But let me tell you something. 20 times over, prophecy is speaking about what Satan's going to be doing with seducing spirits, counterfeit signs, wonders, and miracles, the rise of the Antichrist, all the things that are going to be occurring as we see in the book of Revelation. Incredible things. There's more about the rise of deception and darkness and counterfeit and false prophecies and false prophets and false apostles and all that that Jesus warned us by saying, don't let anyone deceive you. That's how he began in Matthew 24. That's how he began telling the disciples. And by that knowledge comes the ability to be at the cutting edge of what's happening actually in the world around us. Some people don't know. They just say, man, there's a looming chaos. There's great, terrible, turbulent times, you know, happening in the world around us. Well, they're correct. They are absolutely correct in that sense. But why is found out in this incredible biblical revelation and the knowledge of biblical prophecy becoming exactly exact as it did in the Old Testament. Jesus would be born of a virgin. Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. He'd be betrayed by somebody among his own company for 30 pieces of silver, that his body would not see decay 1,000 years before he came, Psalm 16. So this amazing preemptive prophecy is integrated in theology. Did you catch it? For the third millennium. We're living in the third millennium. We're not living in the past. We're not dealing primarily with agnostics and humanists. We're dealing with the greatest unleashing of, quote, spirituality in all of history. And I'm talking about the dark side, the greatest manifestation of demonic presence, doctrine, teaching, activity is upon us, and it will not go away. It will increase to the very end. And the good news is that there's prophecy about great things that God's going to be doing. But it's going to be, again, a demonstration of the clash of kingdoms. And God wants us out there at the cutting edge. Well, on your page one, take a look at point C. Getting the most out of these third millennium courses. Here's just five things to remember. Listen wide open. I mean, really take some time. Discipline. Cut out some other things. And, you know, really dedicate studying. Really get down and read and look and study in detail and go over things again and again. Trusting. You know what I do? I trust that the Holy Spirit is right there with me going to integrate. That's why I have thousands of books all around me down here in the studio here. And what I've done over the years, and some of these books can't even be sold. You know why? Because I get them, and I'm, you know, with the Word of God as my grid, the Spirit of God in my life, as I'm reading materials, whatever it may be, I'm integrating. I am looking at it. I'm interacting. I'm writing notes in the book. I'm writing things. You know, I'm going through everything. I'm thinking through about how I would approach this or that, or how would you do this in ministry, or would this be a good quote, or is this, you know, what to watch out for? So it's a major interaction. And even when my wife gets some of my books and others, they see where I've written things, and some books I get bugged with. There's been books I've gotten so bugged with I've thrown across the room. And There's other books that I've read that somebody has written by God's leading, and I've got up and I've literally danced in the office. I've been so inspired and so blessed. There's one soul-winning book that I sometimes will get it out. I've probably read it 5 times. But sometimes when I just want to get inspired again and get fire in me about soul-winning, I'll go get that old book by a believer in Christ who's died a long time ago. And I'll read again and let God use it in my life to integrate, refresh the teaching that I know about the mission of reaching the world for Christ. Reaching the world. Jesus promised in prophecy that he wouldn't return visibly until we reach the whole world. Well, I'm just saying, listen with ears wide open, heart wide open, mind wide open to the Spirit of God, to the Word of God, and just really take in. Ask God to teach you. Ask God to show you. And if there's other books you're reading, other materials, and whatever else, always be using the Word of God as the grid. You'll learn better than how to get rid of the fish bones and what's no good, and be able to discern better. Be able to tell others, you know, about books and materials, and again, be ahead of the game, not reactionaries, but obviously you're wanting to study, you're wanting to grow, and God will pour in his knowledge. You read Proverbs, those who want to surrender to the Lord, those who want to come before this great throne of grace, you're going to learn so much. So much is going to come into you and be embedded in your life. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. That's for all of us as believers. And would to God that all believers grow up in the knowledge of God and in doing the works of Jesus and making great impact as they enjoy their life in Christ. Well, under C, point 2, the outline notes. When I teach these in the teaching podcasts, I will go step by step like I'm doing right now through all the notes. A point C, number one, you know, I'll just take you point by point by point, because I see it as precept upon precept, step by step. The knowledge of God is built into us in the sense of layers. We learn some things and we're ready for the next things. And so just I encourage you to use and write notes and have a pencil ready. And sometimes God will remind you of this scripture, that scripture, this experience, wherever. Sometimes I'm reminded of where I didn't do so good. Other times where I'm encouraged. Sometimes I've gone to conferences. I like going to conferences and seminars. You know why? Because those presenting seminars and conferences on a one night or a 2 day or a 3 day thing, usually it's the highest concentrated, they're specialists in their field. And so they bring a high content of material to give. And I just encourage you to use the notes so that you can write down things. And it causes you to learn all the more. Don't forget about the resources that we offer on Pages. Many of the Pages, we have a lot of resources. Some we have a little bit. And referring to other books, other materials, if you want to go deeper and grow and connect to things. One of the courses I'm finishing out this week is the Sexual Decadence and the End of Man. And each one of those one-hour lecture sessions will be on a separate web page now, like all the rest of the new courses coming up. And on each one of those 1 hours is where you'll download the printed notes, and there'll be resources right on that page so that you can try to integrate everything from that 1 hour and go through it. And if you want to go further or want to order a book or two, and usually on subjects, I'll have anywhere from 10, 20, 30, even up to 200 books on materials behind the scenes that I've read or whatever. But I try to pick out what I think will be good as a secondary source. So encourage your resources and let God bless you in the building. And thank the Lord for so many that have written things and inspired me over the years. Truly, like in Proverbs, walk with the wise and you will grow wise. And I've learned to do that. Even people who have great believers in the past who've already died, like Andrew Murray, like Francis Schaeffer, and so many others that have written and done things, Spurgeon, and people that have written, but like John Wesley, they inspire me today. You can read things using the Word of God as your grid. The Spirit of God is giving you discernment and inspiring you and helping you along the way. Point 4, I always share this with all those going into some of the heavy-duty courses we've offered, like Confronting the Powers or the Black Awakening. Those courses especially, or those coming into even just seminars with spiritual awakening. I encourage them by telling them, listen, you're going to experience spiritual warfare. If you want to begin to grow in the Lord, get in the Word of God, study, Satan is active in trying to steal the Word of God from non-believers so they can't even believe and get saved. Don't think he's not going to try to steal it from you so that you can't grow. Yes, you're going to have battle along the way. You can't give up. That's part of learning. You can't grow and learn and acquire the knowledge of God without some of that battle along the way. Look at the early disciples. And so we're warned not to be unaware of his schemes. I remember reading in 1 Thessalonians where Paul was writing and saying, hey, we wanted to come unto you, but Satan stopped us. Here's the apostle, letting them know that in ministry, you know, Satan stopped them. And I remember taking this one, the course we were teaching at a large church. We probably had about 35 students in the beginning. It was going to be probably 16 weeks long. And they came once a week for about 2 hours. And I'd do these lectures, and they'd go through the notes with the notebook and integrate things with some video and personal experience and so forth. Well, anyway, by midway through, it happened again. I probably lost, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 students. Some through spiritual warfare issues where the enemy's trying to do things to get them down, get them behind, interrupt them, do whatever it may be, you know, to just, you know, and sometimes some of the courses brings out issues. You know, one of the courses I taught, I ended up doing 30 freedom encounters during the 16 weeks at another church with individuals that were in the course because they realized they had issues and so forth, depending on the course of, and that's part of the growing. And I love to be with you in the courses, but you don't need me. You've got the living Christ. You've got the Spirit of God. And that's how you can approach it as you're taking each one of the lectures and as you're sitting before the Lord and learning and interacting with Him and contemplating things. You know, Peter one time in the book of Acts got on top of a building one time and he was literally just up there contemplating and thinking through things or whatever. And that's when God visited him with a vision to correct his theology about taking the gospel to the Gentiles. And then he also, the Lord told him not to hesitate, spoke to him up there. Because three men were coming. He was telling him what's going to happen. And three men knocked at the door. And the end result of that was him being taken to Cornelius' household, which was already prepared to preach the gospel, to where an entire household would get saved. So let me tell you something. When you're thinking through and you're sitting back like I've done many times, I'll even do some heavy-duty study, and I'll go outside with a cup of coffee and where my little dog's at out there in the back. We have a few acres out here, and I'll sit back there by the wooded area, and I'm just thinking through application of ministry, talking to the Lord about things, and God is teaching me. But I'm also realizing that warfare comes. So many times I've experienced it in the development of these things and getting into some of the, you know, knowledge information that we've had to do over the years. So expect that, but also expect that if you're going to grow in the Lord, know how to have the armor of God on, use the authority of the Lord, be in prayer. You know, that's why Jesus wanted the disciples with him in the end. When he said, you can't you even pray with me 1 hour? Man, you got to take some prayer time before you start, you know, in the studies. You got to pray over your studies. Saturate your studies. Hey, pray, listen, let me ask, pray for me. I don't know, maybe most of you will probably never meet me on this side of heaven, but I want to know one thing. I feel nothing but love from God for you. Because I know that he loves you, the Father loves you and lavishes love on you. All you got to do is read 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. You're a child of God, man. You're a daughter of God or a son of God in Christ. And the number one thing is relationship with him, the development in Christ. But there's a great mission, to a lost and dying world. It's heaven or hell. And I pray that God will equip you. I pray that he'll have his compassion and burden and so forth in your life. Well, the fifth thing under point C, page 1, life circumstances. You know, listen, there's been times over the years, and I've been in colleges and Bible schools, probably 12 years in a row, and in and out, and there's one time I was supposed to fly to Israel to go to the Institute of Holy Land Studies. I had my passport, all the stuff was getting ready. I was in Malone College, I was going to be a transfer student, and all of a sudden I had tremendous trouble with my side. Bottom line, everybody prayed for me, anointed me, I ended up going to the hospital. They took one of my kidneys out, I couldn't go. And I was disappointed not getting to go to the Institute of Holy Land Studies in Israel. I thought, man, I'm going to really learn some things there, whatever else. But you know what? It doesn't matter where you're at. I found that if you're in a little dorm room somewhere, if you're in a little tight apartment, doesn't make any difference. I've been in little basements of apartments that I've lived in to learn and grow, and when I can get books, and if I couldn't pay for another seminary course or another thing here or there, because I still have plans. I still have plans on mastering 9 subjects to be able to use on this side of the battle. And if I can't do it in the sense of paying thousands of dollars in courses for, you know, seminary, some of those, one course in some places will cost you $1,000, $1,400. And so the prices are high, but if I can't do that, what I've learned I can do is I can buy the books and materials and I can read through them. And I've learned how to just have to do a lot of self-studying. Now, out of all the courses, professors, and teachers, I've probably done most of my study outside of the actual classrooms. But again, that's part of my calling. But I feel also that God's burden for the body of Christ and for our development. Well, on page 2, under D, impact of the presence of God. Man, before you even, you know, read that part or listen to this part, you can even put it on pause if you want to. Study Psalm 139. Where can I flee from the presence of God? I mean, just nowhere. He is so far ahead of us. You know, God cannot be measured. The attribute of immeasurability, he cannot be measured. And no matter how deep, wide, broad, I mean, if I took a backpack trip and wanted just to go deep into God, I'd never come out. I'd never come out because of the attribute of infinity. God is infinite. There is no beginning, no end. God is so far beyond created things. I love him for that. It's an amazing thing. God is amazing. And God knows. God can search you. God can, as you're studying materials, even as you're listening to this podcast, you already know it's happening. I already know it because I've seen it happen so many times. I've experienced it so many years that even right now, God may be ministering to you, working in you, speaking to you, convicting you about stuff. There's times God's convicting me, Russ, why are you so lazy? Russ, get up. Wouldn't this be better? Wouldn't this be more beneficial? You know, so many things like that. Other times, he just blows me away by the blessing. And I've listened to people on the radio, I've listened to people on TV at times, professors and others, and I really appreciate how God brings. That's why I just went to a seminar in St. Louis just a couple of weeks ago to learn from others and to receive from them and to appreciate them. And I developed friendships with them. So let me tell you something. In all of your studying, whether with us or anywhere else or by yourself with the Word of God, just realizes one thing. God is amazing. Like the old hymn says, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus. I stand amazed. He never leaves us, never forsakes us. Jesus said, I'll be with you always. So let me tell you something. Let God amaze you how he operates, works, and ministers. Point number 2 under this D is this. God works in providence, purpose, and power. It may be the very providence of God that led you to listen to this. Ask him. See what the purpose behind it is. See if he's calling you to study, whether on your own or with us. But maybe, again, God just calling you to greater knowledge and greater ability and greater fruit bearing. We've been chosen in Christ, John chapter 15. That's for real, man. It's for real, my brother and sister in Christ. We have been chosen to bear the fruit that Jesus began to develop in the days that he was here. Jesus said that if we believed in him, that we would do the works that he did and even greater things. That's you. Can you grasp that? Grab a hold of that. And so I would just trust, as I feel God's presence here in the development of this simple training, that God in his providence will be ministering directly to you, whether immediate or a year from now and listening to this. I already know that God will use it. I already know because it's happened to me so many times, and I've heard so many interact with me over some of the courses and materials. Let me tell you about God's purpose. He has purpose for you and power for you. Romans 8:28, God's working out things for the good, and he's developing you. Point number 3, Jesus, he's in you, and he's with you. Jesus is with you, and the Holy Spirit is in you. Jesus said in Matthew, the last chapter, in doing the great mission of Jesus, reaching the world, I will be with you always. And we see through the book of Acts, he was always with the disciples. He never leaves you, my friend. He never leaves you at all. And the Spirit of God is in you to empower you to not only freely receive all the Word of God that God has given, it's meant for you to know it. It's meant for you to have the revelation brought to your life and be used in your life and to bless you, to bless others. It's meant for that. So the very presence of God. And that's why I say number four is living interaction. That in all your studying and all your reading and all your looking at the notes and listening to me, whether, you know, some of you I know take it and put it on CD, put it in your car, take it to work with you on your iPods and whatever else. Thank God for some of this good equipment that we can do things this way. It's an incredible thing that I can, you know, 25 years ago, pick up a book that was written by a great, great Christian brother, Andrew Murray, who lived in South Africa, long been dead, but to read it today, to be so influenced, so blessed. And I just pray that God will bless you in your studies and visit you, because number one, it's Him. Number one, it's Jesus is with you to the end of the age. And He is in you and with you and by your side, and just talk to Him and lay out your stuff and surrender your studies and let the Spirit of God strengthen you in commitment and resolve. You know, let Him bring it into your life. Talk to Him. Listen to Him. Look at E on page 2, experience. In other words, putting the knowledge into practice. Number of things, 3 points. We have now, in the days we live, based on biblical revelation, more than ever, no time for castles, hiding out in castles, survivalism among Christians, in the sense that we're just going off to hide somewhere. No cubbyholes. We're not here to hide from the world. We're here to reach the world for Christ. We're here to stand out before the whole world and proclaim an indestructible, you know, salvation. A indestructible hope, an incomparable love and presence and power, an incomparable message. Paul said, in the face of mighty Rome, one of the greatest empires in all of human history, with all of its military power, political power, and its blood cults and cultism and emperor worship, Paul was able to write in the very beginning, by the Spirit of God laying out before all of Rome, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation for everyone that believes. I'm not ashamed. With what knowledge I had 30 years ago, I'm not ashamed of Jesus, not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God. It is the most wise thing in all of heaven and earth. It is the mystery of God unveiled. It is the wisdom of God, the treasure of God, the knowledge of God. It is the transformation of God. It is the gift of eternal life. It is the forgiveness of sin, the cutting of satanic ties, the imputing of the righteousness of Jesus. It's the giving of a new nature and a new power in Christ. Dear friend, count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your many blessings. See what God has done. Now that hymn is even biblical. Psalm 103. Forget not all His benefits. No time for all that other stuff. What do you really have time for? What's really important? Two, the experience of knowledge and the things that God is building in our life ultimately is to become a great witness for Jesus, of His words and works, and beginning to do those. Being a great witness in our personal integrity in life, in the way we live in agape love and grace and mercy, to offer mercy, to preach Jesus, to pray for healing, to help people come into relationship, to fight. Who else on the planet can fight the enemy? Who else has been given the authority of Jesus to fight the enemy? Who else has been given the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ to trample dark powers? It's you and I, Christian. Point number 3. So this is what I am. That's what the Word of God is going to show you. You're going to be able to say, hey, listen, this is what I am. I'm a child of God, man. I am born again of the living God. I am a Christian. This is who I am, but also, this is what I can say, and this is what I can do. That's when the knowledge, the Word of God, then the revelation of God is moving you into the practical side. When you put the Word of God into practice, you're not only going to have your clear central identity. See, my identity is not what I do. My identity is not in the giftings God has given me. My identity, number one, is grounded centrally in the fact that I am in personal relationship with the living God, that I'm a human being who's been redeemed. I am now adopted. I'm a child of the living God. God loves me. God has forgiven me. God's going to bring me home. And he's given me things to do, as he's given all of us as believers. The church, a great mission. It's all about bringing people into relationship. It's all about dealing with the ugliness of sin and the reality of demonic horror that's around us and the end times. Only in Christ will you know your real identity as a human being. Only does he know how to heal and bless and build you as an individual, unique creation, redeemed by Christ, by a blood that was shed by a Savior that died on a cross purposely because he loved you and he wanted you. So grow in knowledge, grow in Christ, grow in power, grow in ability and fruitfulness, as you see on the page. Grow in the knowledge of God. Read 1 Peter, 2 Peter 2. You know, to add to your faith the knowledge of God, to grow in the grace and the knowledge of God. Pour into the knowledge of God. Grow in Christ. Be a Christocentric, Christ-centered in all that you are and do. Even as someone clothed and filled with the Holy Spirit, the number one evidence is Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Spirit of wisdom and revelation, Ephesians chapter 1, given to you, that you might know Jesus better. And that the Spirit of God is like gas thrown on the fire. The fire, the flames become ferocious. As you're filled and clothed with the power of the Holy Spirit, Christ in you, Christ through you, Christ upon you, Christ with you. And that may be known and seen by the world around you. Colossians, in him, the word of God, in the book of Colossians, in him, in Christ is found all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. All the treasures, my friend, of wisdom and knowledge. Grow in power. Acts 9:22, when Saul of Tarsus got saved, became Paul, was saved, got filled with the Holy Spirit, and he began to minister and do what he could do. And the Bible simply says in verse 22, he grew more and more powerful. So by growing in acquiring the knowledge of God and stepping out in obedience to the Word of God, you're going to grow more and more powerful. You're going to grow strong, 1 John chapter 2, verse 14. You're going to overcome the evil one. You're going to be very victorious over the sin, nature, flesh stuff, over the fallen world system, and over the enemy himself. Jesus provides a victory all the way around. And so grow in Christ, grow in power, but also grow in ability. As I already mentioned, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. We are God's, listen, we're God's workmanship. We've been created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. I see, and I've seen as a pastor for many years, Christians who have not been able, they don't know how to lead a soul to Christ. They couldn't do a deliverance, cast out a demon if they tried. They don't know how to pray for people to be healed. They don't know how to find their spiritual gifts and begin to use them. And they know the Lord, they know they're saved, and some of them don't even have clear victory. And I think it's a lot to do with lack of knowledge and a lack of discipleship, but it may be also laziness and just being glad you've been forgiven and that's all you care about. Jesus says to every single believer, come on, take up the cross, follow me. You know, if you want to be disciples of Jesus Christ, you got to deny yourself and take up that cross and follow him on a daily basis. Daily. Now listen, that's not a secret. That's the reality. Every day get up, meet Jesus. Every day be his disciple. Every day decide, I'm taking up the cross to follow Christ. I am a prayer warrior. I am a worshiper of Jesus. I am a witness for Christ. And I'm going to continue to add to my knowledge and layer my knowledge and grow in the Lord. And I'm going to learn how to answer and speak and minister and share and discern and do a great number of things for Jesus Christ. Are you ready for that? Are you ready to help conquer the world? Well, I'm not going to say we're going to conquer the world, but I know you can lead your friends to Christ. I know you can make an impact in that place you work. I know you can make an impact in a school. How about that neighborhood or your own family life? Maybe you're just at this point allowing God to make his impact in you. Well, open wide to Jesus Christ, my friend. I can tell you something that's absolutely assurance. That if you open wide to Jesus Christ and growing and learning, he's going to fill your life. Have you ever read Psalm 81:10? Psalm 81:10. I'm not going to quote it. I can. But I'm going to let you go to your Bible at some point and look up Psalm 81:10. God has something to tell you there. Psalm 81:10. And God wants your life. He really does. He wants to, like ancient Israel, he wanted to fill their lives. Psalm 81:10. F on page 2, standing at the cutting edge. Listen. Nothing is sadder to see part of the church weak and anemic, even growing liberal and dead and so forth. Nothing sadder to see Laodicea. Nothing sadder to seeing Sardis. Jesus Christ did not create the church to be some corrupted, hypocritical, cold, lethargic, unspiritual entity. That is absolutely an anomaly. Jesus Christ said, I'm going to build a church and the gates of hell will not, you know, prevail against it. He said he would clothe us with power, that he would give us a mission, that he would be with us always, that he'd never leave us or forsake us, that we would do the works of Jesus. Read the book of Acts. Study Acts 5:42. Why did they get that testimony? They were just going around the world. I mean, they were just leading people left and to Christ left and right. And they were seeing, you know, they were encountering all kinds of people. And yes, they had to share. And yes, they encountered the Stoic and Epicurean philosophers. Yes, they encountered, you know, demonized individuals in Ephesus and so forth. Yes, they encountered Greece and the culture where they even had an inscription to an unknown god, along with all the religious junk around them, all the spirituality around them, never led them to the Creator. And let me encourage you to be at the cutting edge as you're growing in the Lord and ministering, to keep learning, growing, keep sharp. This is what Peter said in the book of Acts. He knew right then, as you know biblical prophecy, you're going to be able to point and say, friend, this is what's going on. God said this is why the world's heading the way it is. This is what's occurring. So hurry, my friend, hurry. We're urged in Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, to first of all, and by the urgency of the Spirit of God, to lay out prayers for the kings and all those in authority, to be great prayer warriors, not just your own crisis prayer, not just praying when you have to out of a problem, becoming a great, powerful prayer warrior on a daily basis, being like a Daniel on a daily basis, being a great witness like Philip, and having great knowledge like the Apostle Paul, standing as a great leader like Nehemiah, being a powerful leader like Deborah, being a tremendous woman of integrity like Esther. Dear friend, grow in the Lord and develop in the Lord. A good principle is found in Colossians 4, chapter 4, verse 2. Simply says this, devote yourself to prayer, being watchful, and with thanksgiving. Three words, devotion. Devotion to study, you know, there it's devotion to prayer. Be devoted to prayer. That means committed consistently. Be persistent until you're consistent. But in that commitment to prayer and seeing how God, you'll advance the will of God and see the kingdom of God go forward and see the power of God, he also says, in the context of that praying, be watchful. The Greek word simply means to look for impending danger, to have eyes that are wise. You can be meek as dove, but God wants you to be so wise to what's going on with evil and it's ramping up around us. And fill your life with thanksgiving to God. That thanksgiving to God causes you to constantly be reminded of the great things. Take some time tonight to be thankful again and again and again of all the things God has done in your life. And let me just simply say at the end of this page, the cost, listen, if you just study on your own and before the Lord and step out, that's you're going to grow in the Lord. And that's what I've done so many times. But if you are going to, you know, take one of these courses, you know, as I've taken Bible school courses and counseling center courses and three different colleges, universities, and so forth, thousands of dollars are involved. We hope that we can offer courses at a particular price. It's far less than any Bible school. What I would teach at the local college for 12 weeks or 15 weeks and give that material and meet with the students for an hour once or twice a week, you know what? That would cost them $900. If I was at the local Bible school where I went before, and that Bible school's known the world around, and if I was there teaching right now and you came there as I went there for a couple of years, you know, when I went there, one course would be about $300. And you would take one course and have it for 10, 12 weeks. You go drive out there and be, and I loved it. And I loved it. And I'll continue to do that. But I've also found other ways to learn and grow. And this is one that I believe God's beginning to use. So I just encourage you that just pray through. See what God wants you to do. And basically, most of you have come to these courses already, you know, involved in a course, enrolled. And I just want you to have this to really help you to get the most. Simple thing I could say, be like Daniel chapter 1. Be resolved. Go ahead and be committed to all your learning and standing for the Lord and put it into practice. Be obedient. And man, God will bless you. He really will. Write me if you have any questions, if you have any needs. Keep me in your prayers. I would surely pray for you. And right now even ask that the Lord Jesus Christ will grace you and bless you with precious biblical revelation knowledge, that it will be God enriching your life and embracing your life and building your life, but he will bring the fire of God and move you to mission and to be a part of what he's doing the world around. I encourage you to do that, my friend. Listen, this is Russ Dizdar from Shatter the Darkness, shatterthedarkness.net on the web, with the courses, the cutting-edge courses, Theology for the Third Millennium. God bless you, my friend.